Robinhood Radio presents Do the Right Thing
with Karen Grigsby Bates, Los Angeles-based correspondent for NPR News. Karen also was a news reporter for People magazine, a contributing columnist on the op-ed pages for the Los Angeles Times for 10 years. Karen's work has also appeared in Time, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Essence, and Vogue.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right.
It's Karen Grigsby Bates, Do the Right Thing. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Jill.
So what do you do if your father cancels out at the last minute?
That happened to somebody I know. Their parents canceled out at the last minute. They just said, we're not coming. And the bride sort of made an announcement while everybody was, I think they decided to serve drinks. They were thinking everybody was late. But they decided to serve drinks and let people just sort of move around and schmooze for a while. And then when the parents made the phone call and said, we're not coming after all, she was obviously upset, as most people would have been. And then she decided, okay, well, if they're not, they're not, and we'll tell people they're not. So she walked out to the front of the assembled group, I think we're in lawn chairs. It was an outside wedding. And said, well, you know, every family has its drama, and apparently mine decided to be dramatic today, and so my parents are not coming to the wedding. And the wedding is on, even though they're off, and we're going to have a good time today. So take a deep breath, take a last sip, and we're going to start in just a minute. They did. Everybody had a good time. And they took their cues from the bride because she was not going crazy and just said, stuff happens, and it happened today, apparently, but one monkey don't stop no show. And they went on and did their thing.
And that's a really good, I just want to jump over, this isn't weddings, this is graduation related, but I will, I just want to cite Oprah Winfrey in a commencement speech she gave a week or so, I think it was last week, it could have been recently, just saying the level of hysteria meeting hysteria with hysteria does not help.
Well, it doesn't make anything less hysterical, that's for sure.
Yeah. And I just thought that given the high octane emotional level just out there in life, and weddings absolutely spike things. Mm-hmm. They can't help it.
I mean, to a certain degree, now some people are just preternaturally calm. They just are. It's just, you know, they're like, look. And it tends to be, in my experience, the people who look at it and say, this is not the biggest day in my life. This is a milestone. Yes, it's going to be fun. Sure. But this is not the biggest day in my life. Because then what does that say about having kids or, you know, buying a house or getting a master's degree or, you know, winning the lottery? I mean, these are all important things. But your wedding is a couple of hours out of one day. And it helps to remember that, I think, if you're getting married and you're worried that things are going all crazy and you're like, you know, if I stay married for a good long while, nobody's going to remember this. Or if they do, you know, we'll be laughing about it over and over. Oh, remember that time when, you know, the maid of honor slipped going down the aisle. That kind of stuff.
Yes, there's no question that you are entirely right. So in this universe that we have lived in now for a good 10, 12 years where, you know, food is something to be photographed, not necessarily ingested, and, you know, screens, it's harder to get the just perspective. I'm hoping that we are moving into a new phase where it's a big day, but hopefully there are other really big days in your life. Not that this image, this perfection has to be created and then that's it. Because the sense of letdown, way, way back in the day, used to have this, I know so many people who graduated and then they didn't know what they were going to do.
Well, so many of us.
but that was, it's like there was no... You are basically put on this wonderful structured organizational program for X number of years of your life, and then it's like, yeah, okay, bye.
Like, all the structure gets ripped away.
Ripped. Yeah. And you're supposed to not, that's supposed to not be somehow anxiety provoking. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's, you know, it doesn't help that culture now supports creating these basically photographic moments that, you know, supposedly paper
well,
over.
Well, now we've gone into, you know, photographing the engagement. I've gotten several communications over the last couple of years where it looks like there's been an engagement trip, you know, a proposal, and the bestowal of the ring, and it's been photographed. And I don't know that it's a professional photographer who's done the photographing. It could have been a friend, or it could have been one couple got engaged at the skating rink at Rockefeller Center. And so I think maybe the waiter at the restaurant that's right by the skating rink took a picture or something, and they sent it out as a combination Christmas card engagement notice. But it was like, wow, okay. Somebody else sent me one from a mountain vacation where it was actually kind of clever. It said, you know, 6:15 a.m., and it was a bare hand sort of pulling up a rope, a climbing rope, and then 6:20 a.m., it was the same hand with an engagement ring on it. Okay, I get it. Fine. But I think it ups the tension for some people about having to do so much for, you know, to chronicle this process in the relationship. And I think that probably gets helped along by the romantic industrial complex, which sells brides magazines and bridal dresses and reception dresses, which was definitely not a thing when I was coming along, unless you were super duper rich. And even then, a lot of super duper rich people didn't change clothes between the wedding and the reception. Europeans maybe, but not Americans. Bunch of stuff like that, you know, the four-day wedding extravaganza. So people are thinking, well, it has to be big. It must be big because this is what I'm seeing in all the bridal magazines and all the stories about how people get married and, you know, in the paper when they sort of spin this out into a from the time they met until the time they walk down the aisle kind of stuff. And I think it makes a lot of people feel like they have to keep up. It also makes some people feel like they're not going to bother to keep up no matter what you say. And so I think you see a subset in the middle of all this big wedding, big dress, big stuff day of people having very simple weddings, which is a lovely thing.
And maybe we're coming, there is a point at which the ante's up so high that you just can't cope anymore. And people actually do start running off to elope, but we're not there yet.
Or they do what a lot of people did in the 70s, which was get married in the park or
right.
Get married by a lake or whatever. And I read somewhere that there's a lot of that going on now just because people are like, well, how does this cost so much? We'll save the wedding money and we'll do something else, you know, or we'll save the wedding money and we always wanted to go to Peru. So we're going to take the money we would have spent on extravaganza and spend a month in Peru, you know, that kind of stuff. And I'm all for it. Good for you, kids.
And that's the thing where it gets, you know, it's, as you say, the romantic industrial complex, which people just don't even realize how big that is. But I personally think it's, you know, I think of industrial nations, and I think of armaments factory, and it's just, it is nothing compared to the wedding business.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not literally.
There's no emotion
but,
attached
right.
to an armaments factory. It's pure profit, whereas this is pure profit
plus,
you know, pulling on your emotional heartstrings. And so it's a really potent combination.
And
if you watch any of the wedding gown shows where you see brides coming into a gown store to buy the dress for their big day, and the people say to them, okay, you know, just to help us filter through what we're going to be picking up for you, what do you think you want to spend? And I think the absolute rock bottom is like $1,500 or something, unless you go to a sale.
And they'll say, okay, we can do that. Or, you know, 2,000, 5,000, whatever, 8,000, which I think is crazy, but okay. And then they find a dress that costs more than that, and they love it, and they come out. So the bride who was lucky enough to have an $8,000 budget now has in her head this vision of a $12,500 dress.
Right.
And she says, I know it's over the budget, but I really love it. And mom's sitting there sort of gagging. It's like, wait a minute. And dad's like, we're going to do it. Anything for my little princess. It's like, really? $12,500 for a dress you're going to wear for maybe 6 hours. Really? But, you know, and I guess my objection to all of this is the people who have money to burn, yeah, sure, it doesn't matter to them. Spend what you want. Spend, you know, I think Kate Middleton's wedding gown was in something like $400,000. Well, she's going to be queen one day, and I think somebody else paid for it, no big deal. But if you're a fireman, if you're a chef, if you're a teacher, and your daughter wants a dress that's almost twice as much as what the top of the budget was, do you really want to do that? You know, and if you're the daughter, it's like, can't you fall in love with something within your price range?
And what does that say about the rest? But again, it just puts the expectation for that day. You know, it just, again, it raises the ante. And then I actually literally know someone who, even though there were massive problems that were, you know, clear to anyone with eyes,
mm-hmm.
so liked her dress that she decided not to talk about the massive problems. And, you know, I'm just very happy to, not happy, but predictably, the massive problems have become a factor. Because those tend not to go away. And I'm just saying, you're right. It's more intense because there's emotion attached to it. And you're talking something really long term. So.
And if there's bad stuff that happens on the wedding day, this of a physical nature, you know, the top of the cake falls off. The organist didn't show up because he was hungover. Somebody steps on the bride's train and there's a big, you know, those are things that if you let them can become a total catastrophe, or you can laugh about them, you know, or at least just sort of shrug. At one wedding, the groom just kind of said, well, look, and it rained on top of everything else. It was an outdoor wedding, and there wasn't a tent. He said, well, let's look at it this way. We got the pits over already, and the only place we can go is up, and they're still married. And it's been about 25 years. So I think they're married because they had the right idea about what counts and what counts less.
Thank you very much, Karen Grigsby Bates. Do the right thing.
You're welcome. Go catch a bouquet.
You've been listening to Do the Right Thing with Karen Grigsby Bates, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow.
On the web, robinhoodradio.com.
Fly right.